Station on Saturdays. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. Bismillah, words that seekers of sanctuary repeatedly recite. Words that the very cautious in search of protection often repeat. I seek refuge with Allah, the Exalted above all, from the oppression of the unjust, from the deceitful malice the envious use to lay snares and traps, from the injustice and outrage of the tyrants, and I sing his praise. Do better and go beyond other praisers. O Allah, thou art one, has no partner, and is the Lord Master without being made. There is no discrepancy or nonsense in thy commands, nor there is lawlessness in thy kingdom. I beseech thee to send blessings on Muhammad, thy servant, thy messenger. To let me ask thee for enlightenment and inspiration, so as to be thankful for thy bounties, which alone get thy approval ultimately. To help me to obey thee and instinctively worship thee, and make me deserve thy rewards on account of thy very patronage. And have mercy on me, and prevent me from breaking in the bounds of thy prohibitions, as far as I am kept alive, and show the way unto that which is useful and advantageous till I go on survive. To let me take to heart the meanings of thy book, and by its reading, throw down the heavy burden of sins, and receive welfare and salvation as a gift. Let not my family and friends who love me leave me alone. Let thy favors reach me in abundance during the remainder of my life, exactly as they used to be made available for me in full in the days gone by. Oh, the most merciful.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today.
Raditu billahi rabba wa bil islam dina.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Almighty. Dear brothers and sisters, Assalamu alaikum and welcome to today's special from IRIB English Radio. So welcome. During this episode, we want to speak about the value of the Quran in the eyes of the Muslims. Today, Friday, is the 11th of Rabiul Thani, 1442 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 7th of the month of Azar, 1399 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 27th of November, 2020 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. We open the Holy Quran. We'll listen to chapter An'am, verse 19.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. قل أي شيء أكبر شهادة قل الله شهيد بيني وبينكم وأوحي إلي هذا القرآن لأنذركم به ومن بلغ أئنكم لتشهدون أن مع الله آلهة أخرى قل لا أشهد قل إنما هو إله واحد وإنني بريء مما تشركون.
Say, what thing is greatest in testimony? Say, Allah is witness between me and you, and this Quran was revealed to me that I may warn you thereby and whomever it reaches. Do you truly testify that with Allah there are other deities? Say, I will not testify with you. Say, indeed, He is but one God, and indeed, I am free of what you associate with Him.
لا إله إلا الله لا إله
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
Dear friend, besides all other prophetic miracles, unseen aids, and frustrating the hostile plots, the Quran itself is the greatest evidence to the Prophet's messengership. The messengership of Prophet Muhammad is both worldly and eternal, for all humankind and in all ages. However, a permanent warning indeed should be accompanied with an everlasting warner. Therefore, the divine imamate and leadership should also be together with the Quran forever.
Ya Allah, Ya Allah, Ya Allah, Ya Allah, Ya
سجدة للجبال في ركعة في صلاة نرجو بها إلها نسعى بها لرضا يا الله يا الله عادل في قضائك يا الله يا الله واسع في عطائك.
We're speaking about the value of the Quran in the eyes of the Muslims. Our success and failure is not determined by any worldly measure, but by whether we have gained Allah's pleasure. What then shall be our source of strength if it is not Allah's words? When we are alone and afraid, it is Allah's words that would console us despite our fear. What we take with ourselves of the Quran into our trials is what will be our pillar of strength for us to lean on. Our trials will question us whether our efforts have been worth the consequence. It is Allah's words that will remind us of our prosperous deal, how we sold this life for a life much better in the next. These words of Allah, the Quran, will remind us of how Allah rewards the patient and how He, Allah, is pleased with those who persevere in His way. Those who honor the Quran shall receive honor in heaven. Those who give precedence to the Quran over every other sayings, they shall be given precedence in heaven. There is now no book for the guidance of mankind on earth except the Quran. Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa bihi nasta'in. As Muslims, we are expected to discharge our duties toward the Holy Quran. Another kind of instruction that encourages everybody to be attentive to the Holy Quran is a piece of hadith related from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in that he mentioned in this way, عليك بتلاوة القرآن وذكر الله كثيرا فإنه ذكر لك في السماء ونور لك في الأرض. You are expected to recite the Holy Quran and remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala abundantly, because this is This is a means of remembering youth. This is a means of your being remembered in the heavens. And this is light, or an instance of light for you on the earth. We find that many important personalities, like, for example, the late Allama Muhammad Baqir Majlisi, the author of the compiler of the greatest Shiite hadith collection, Bahar al-Anwar, has devoted a considerable portion of his magnum opus, I mean, in the field of hadith scholarship, that is Bahar al-Anwar, to reciting the Holy Quran and to the merits of the Holy Quran. And we find that in it, it's indicated from Imam Amir al-Mu'minin, Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam, the first infallible Imam, that Imam Ali alayhi salam instructed his companions and his, by extension, Imam Amir al-Mu'minin alayhi salam has instructed everybody, all Muslims, to learn the Book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because it's the best type of discourse available and the soundest kind of, and the soundest advice for everybody.
With today's special, and we'll look at the teachings of the Holy Quran. The inner and outer dimensions of the Quran. In chapter 4, verse 36, Allah the Almighty says, "And serve Allah and ascribe nothing as a partner to Him." The verse prohibits pre-Islamic Arabs from their worship of idols, just as chapter 22, verse 30 urges them to shun the filth of idols and shun lying speech. On reflection, it becomes clear that an idol may exist in any form. Therefore, idol worship is forbidden because it involves submission to an entity other than Allah. In chapter 36, verse 60, Allah treats the devil as an idol when He says, "Did I did not charge you, O you sons of Adam, that you do not worship the devil?" It also becomes clear that another form of idol worship is submission to one's desire or to the will of others, over and above the will of Allah. It is indicated in chapter 45, verse 23, which refers to Him who makes his desire his God. Then it becomes apparent that one should turn to none other for help than Allah Himself, and not forget Him in any circumstances, since to do otherwise would be to direct one's attention away from Allah. To submit to others is to belittle Allah, the Almighty, and this is the very essence of idol worship. Again, this is a part of tips. Tips for improving your relationship with the Quran. And today's tip, remember, the Quran is more interactive than a CD. In an age of interactive CD-ROMs and computer programs, a number of people think books as passive and boring. But the Quran is not like that. Remember that when you read Quran, you are interacting with Allah. He's talking to you, so pay attention. And tip number two, don't just read, listen too. There are now many audio cassettes and CDs of the Quran, and a number of them with translations as well. This is a great to put on your Walkman or your car CD or stereo as you drive to and from work. Use this in addition to your daily Quran reading, not as a replacement for it.
Let's talk about some of the amazing features of the Holy Quran to give you some examples of how precise the wording is of the Holy Quran. One example that I'd like to share with you is a conversation between Prophet Ibrahim and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is in Surah Al-Shu'ara. Prophet Ibrahim is talking about God and the favors of God on us. So he says, "Alladhi khalaqani fahuwa yahdin." Allah is the one who created me, and He is the one. Fahuwa. The Quran brings this pronoun for emphasis. And He is the one who guides me. Then he says, وَالَّذِي هُوَ يُطْعِمُنِي وَيَسْقِينَ. And He is the one who feeds me and gives me water to drink. وَإِذَا مَرِضْتُ. When I get sick, فَهُوَ يَشْفِينَ. He is the one who heals me. He is the one who cures me. Now in these three verses, we see that there is this pronoun, Huwa. He is the one. He is the one for emphasis. But in the following verse, وَالَّذِي يُمِيتُنِي ثُمَّ يُحِينَ. And He is the one who takes my life, He gives me death, and He revives me. We don't see this emphasis here. He doesn't say, وَالَّذِي هُوَ يُمِيتُنِي ثُمَّ يُحِينَ. He just says, and He is the one. And it just brings you a conjunction. It doesn't say Huwa. He is the one. And the one who gives me death and life. Why? The Quran is very precise. There's a reason why in those three verses Allah says Huwa. He is the one. He is the one. But over here Allah didn't say it. And the one. And He in Arabic. وَالَّذِي يُمِيتُنِي. And the one. He doesn't say He. There is no added emphasis. Why? When it comes to those three earlier verses, Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam is making a point that maybe others in society can feed you, you can go to the doctor can heal you, but there required an emphasis. No, He is the one who actually feeds you. Don't be fooled. Yes, you go to the doctor, but He is the one who actually cures you. Because other people might forget that Allah is the one who's taking care of them. But when it comes to reviving you, creating you, do you need that added emphasis? You don't need that added emphasis. Why? Because everyone knows that a doctor can't revive anyone. A doctor cannot give you life or death. It's only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because it's so obvious, it did not require this emphasis. Look at the precision of the Holy Quran. That's one example.
I was so far from you, yet to me you were always so close. I wandered lost in the dark. I closed my eyes to all the signs you put in my way. I walked every day further.
Dear friends, dear believers, we hope you've made the most use of today's program. Please send your comments and suggestions at parstoday.com/en. Please do keep us in your prayer. Fi amanillah.
Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. All praises to Allah. All praises to Allah. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. All praises to Allah. All praises to Allah.
Thank you. food for thought.
Hello, dear friends, and yesterday we observed the passing away anniversary of Hazrat Fatima Masuma, peace be upon her, who reposes in eternal peace in the city of Qom, where devotees seek her intercession with God Almighty with these words. O Fatima, intercede for me for the reward of paradise, for certainly you have with God a lofty status.
Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio. Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina wa maulana Abil Qasim al-Mustafa Muhammad wa ala ahli baytihi at-tayyibin at-tahirin al-ma'sumin. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, dear listeners. Welcome to another episode of Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio. We all know that Islam and the teachings of Islam, especially within the school of the Ahlul Bayt alayhi wasalam, it's not something that is confined to mere ibadah or acts of worship. It is not something that just looks at the personal side and the, if you want to call it, the selfish side of an individual. How can an individual get better? How can an individual reach Allah? And so on and so forth. Islam is a religion. Even if you have to go into the mystical side of it, the gnosis side of Islam, we see that the final journey, according to the mystics, is when a person goes with the community towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or a mystic is able, after he has done his own personal journey, to take others with him. So we say that Islam, in its essence, is a religion that is for community. It is a religion that is for, you know, others. It is not something that we should just look at as being an individualistic or something that is of, you know, our own needs, our own desires. In that regard, today I would like to share with you a tradition from the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, which speaks about two kinds of people. That if these people are sound, are fair, you know, are just, the community will be just, the community will be going towards a correct path. But if these two individuals are corrupt, are not sound, you know, they do all sorts of evil and bad things, then the community in general will also be going towards destruction, deviation, and so on, and corruption also. So the Holy Prophet has said, there are two kinds of people from my community, who if they are sound, my community will be sound. And if they are corrupt, my community will become corrupt. The community here means the Ummah, the greater Muslim community. Because these two individuals that we will mention, the Holy Prophet mentions, obviously after being asked, you know, kind of impact the entire Muslim community, and not just a small group of individuals. So obviously the Holy Prophet was asked, in Ya Rasulullah, and who are these people? Who are these two individuals that, or these two groups of people, if they are corrupt, the community will be corrupt. And if they are fine, and if they are good, the community will be good. The Holy Prophet replied, the jurists and the rulers. That if the fuqaha and the umara, that is the leaders, the rulers of the society, and the fuqaha and the jurists of the society, and those who are responsible for the spiritual needs of the community, and those who are responsible for the physical needs of the community, if both of these are corrupt, obviously we see the community will be going in the wrong direction. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, first of all, to give us good fuqaha and good rulers over the Muslim ummah, inshaAllah, and to make us, inshaAllah, of those who are on the right. And if we see something going wrong, we are able to change it or say something about it. InshaAllah, until next time. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
That was the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure. Oh Lord, here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more.
Quran Quest, yes please. Quran Quest, answering your Quranic questions.
تحفظني من همزات الشيطان ومن زلات
قرآني نبض حياتي قرآني طهر ذاتي قرآني عصمة أمري قرآني طوق نجاتي قرآني نبض حياتي قرآني طهر ذاتي قرآني عصمة أمري قرآني طوق نجاتي
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. To all our brothers and sisters, seekers of knowledge and wisdom, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. You are listening to IRIB English Radio, broadcasting from Iran. This is Quran Quest, the program where we study the verses of Quran one by one with our dear Sheikh Habib Zatar. With our dear Sheikh Habib. Salaam alaikum, Sheikh Habib. Thank you for coming over.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Always good to be here, man.
Sheikh Habib, we have arrived. We are on chapter 84, the splitter, and we're going through the verses one by one. There's a lot of things to learn from the Quran. And today we arrive on verse 13. Let's listen to these few verses and we'll be back for the discussion. Don't go away.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
In the name of Allah, the entirely merciful, the especially merciful.
إنه كان في أهله مسرورا
Indeed, he had once been among his people in happiness.
إِنَّهُ ظَنَّ لَنْ يَحُورُ
Indeed, he had thought he would never return to Allah.
بَلَى إِنَّ رَبَّهُ
But yes, indeed, his Lord was ever of him seeing.
You're back on IRIB English Radio, broadcasting from Iran. This is Quran Quest. You just listened to verses 12 to 15 of chapter 84, The Splitter. So we're talking about people who receive damnation on the Day of Judgment. It appears that in the next three verses, that's 13, 14, and 15, the Quran is explaining why they receive damnation. It says, he used to be joyful among his folk. He thought he would never return, but his Lord sees him best. Can you give us a general overview about why this is bad and how it can hurt us?
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد Generally looking, human beings are driven towards, you know, being happy and satisfied in their lives and, you know, just to be relaxed in this life. We talked about it before and again we emphasize it here that the idea of truly complete relaxation and satisfaction about the way you are and the way that you live in, the situations that you're in, the world that you're in, is impossible in this world. You know, there was the other day, actually, I was speaking to one of my friends, and he's actually a Christian, and we were just talking about Yemen, actually. He was stating that I was enjoying my time. It was like the first time in 2 years I was just so happy, so relaxed, and I started drinking juice. Then I don't know what happened to me, and I remember the picture of this Yemeni boy in the war. And I was just like, oh, I'm drinking this juice, and there are people getting killed out there. And I just felt so down and depressed and whatnot. See, to this point, even the situation that it doesn't have to do with you. He's a Christian, an American Christian, American-Mexican Christian in California, and that boy in Yemen made his day so sour. Where he was relaxed and whatnot. So that's the idea of relaxation. But then, you know, when you're, especially the people without belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and unfortunately sometimes people with the belief of Allah, they reach to a point where they are so relaxed with their life, they see their children, you know, they try to forget the problems, the left and right problems, and they state that this is completion. This is al-kamal. This is, you know, the perfection. Highest level. This is the perfection. This is it. Right? They're so happy with it. And to a point where they would do everything in their power, even denying righteousness, even denying justice, even fighting justice for the sake of their, you know, perfect scenario life. And they melt, they dissolve into this world. And I think that we should have a break. I think we need more time to talk about this concept.
Yeah, and there are lots of notions which say that in the world, happiness is mixed with sorrow, as exactly. if it's a mold that you're
That's
making.
That's the same from Amir al-Mu'mineen. Really, Najib Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam knows how to touch the scars.
He does.
Ya Ali, Ya Ali.
Okay, let's take a break and we'll be back to discuss this issue more.
إن سألتم عن إلهي فهو رحمن رحيم أنزل الشارع حنيفا رحمة للعالمين رحمة للعالمين.
This is Quran Quest on IRIB English Radio. It's a program that attempts to answer your questions pertaining to the Noble Quran. We'd be delighted to have your comments about the program. Just search Quran Quest on IRIB English Radio.
If you ask me who my God is, on whose name I call, if you ask me who my God is, He's the God of us all, Allah the Merciful. If you ask me what my book is that I hold in my hand, if you ask me what my book is, it's the Holy Quran, the Holy Quran.
We're back on IRIB English Radio, broadcasting from Iran. This is Quran Quest. We're talking about how the people who will enter the blaze on the Day of Judgment were happy with their life. And just like you explained, Sheikh Habib, they thought this is it. This is the bliss that they're looking for. But you said, like you said, that in this world, the world is the happiness and the sadness is mixed. It reminds me that when you're poor, you have the misery of lacking the things you need. But when you're wealthy, then you're always stressed about protecting your wealth. So in both cases, you don't have absolute bliss.
We're born losers. Truly, it is truly what you stated. We enter this life and, you know, you look at the poor people, they're living through poverty, that hardship. At the same time, they have rahatul bal, which I see is more important, actually.
Peace.
Peace in mind. And then you have the wealthy where they're not living peace in mind. You know, so hectic, so chaotic. There's no middle ground. Anyway, what I want to say here is that true, sometimes by itself, being happy with your family and having a family is okay in Islam. It's even, you know, it's something that Islam encourages, actually, to, you know, have a happy lifestyle. It's the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought in laws and brought in advice of how to run a family and whatnot. Yet, at the same time, this happiness cannot enslave you. Because if it enslaves you and becomes your king and your ruler, then therefore it will become evil, like how in this case. The reason of revelation actually is about two of these couple of verses that we're talking about. Is about two brothers, actually. One of them was a martyr with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa'alaihi. The other was a disbeliever who fought against his own brother and was killed by Hamza, the uncle of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa'alaihi. He, the brother, did not want to believe because of the state, because he was so happy with his family and his wealth and the
with other, his status quo. He was happy with that.
He was happy with that, and the way that if he believed that his family will cause him problems, and that if he enters the Islamic religion, it will make it will split up his family, and you know all these hardships that the early Muslims, the first stage Muslims, went through. He didn't want to go through that. He was enslaved by this happiness. It was a cause of happiness, and it was the cause of him being an infidel, or being a disbeliever. These are the great examples of not being mustad'af, or those who have not reached proof, or have no evidence. He had evidence, he was certain it's the right religion, but he fought against it. Why? For the sake of what he believed in, for the sake of what he thought and claimed to be his perfection. Living with his family, and he thought that he claimed himself that I will not return, like how the coming verses actually state.
It is this thing that apparently in human beings that they think that bad things won't happen to them. Like when there's an outcry of some problem, we always think that it's going to happen to someone else. It's not going to happen to us.
It's human nature. I had it
it's,
myself.
It's human nature. That's my
example,
point.
The perfect example is about coronavirus. When it was happening in Wuhan,
I was like, oh, poor guys. But I didn't even think about it coming to our own city.
So this is in our nature to not be able to imagine that bad things are going to happen to us. How can we prepare ourselves to remember that if we're not careful, bad things can happen to us on the Day of Judgment? And you only have 30 seconds to ask the answer.
Real quick. Really, just a short answer. It's to open our eyes. Open our eyes to our reality about ourselves, about our lives, about the purpose of life. Allahumma arifni nafsi. Oh Allah.
Reveal me to myself.
Exactly. When you know your reality, you understand for what you were created and what is your goal. And you start to understand that all these are tools for a specific goal.
And maybe like if you can put like half an hour a day at least, reading the Quran and the Nahj al-Balagha carefully, both of them. I think that's a huge helper.
Yeah, especially the sayings of Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam, sometimes, you know, make you understand the concepts available in the Quran. Of course, we all emphasize about this. Return to the scholars and the high-ranked scholars and the learned scholars to, you know, better interpretate the sayings so you don't fall into, you know, a lot of problems.
Okay, let's take a break and we will be back after the break for more.
Stay tuned to the IRIB English Radio.
You're back on IRIB English Radio, broadcasting from Iran. This is Quran Quest, and in the studio we have with us Sheikh Habib to help us go through verses 13 to 15 of chapter 84, the splitter. So we explained that some people are going to go to the blaze of the hellfire because they were so happy with their earthly life, the status quo, that they couldn't imagine a return that they should prepare for. As Imam Ali alayhi salam says, to send ahead provisions for. They're going there empty-handed. In the verse it says that indeed he thought he would never return. What is so negative about this verse?
First of all, I just want to, you know, just point out to what you stated, that not only the final cause of them entering the blazes was not them in love with their family, falling in love with their family, like how we talked about before the break, but rather because of the love of the family, they fought the idea of righteousness, they fought the idea of justice. I think that's very important to...
They were actually actively trying to protect their status quo.
Yeah, that's what we tried to emphasize before the break. Now, what's so negative about not believing in returning? Because the concept of returning, what is meant here is to return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not in a place. He does not have a place. He created place. He does not have a place. Thus, hence, you are returning to the judgment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when you believe you will not return, it means you do not believe on the Day of Judgment. And me personally, I've said it before, and I'll say it again, banks will probably put a ban on me, but anyway, I'm going to say it, that if I didn't believe in the Day of Judgment, personally, I didn't believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I would be the first person to rob a bank. But really just holding me back, actually, is actually the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will come and tell me, you know, if he does a hisab yaseer for me, or, you know, an easy reckoning, he will ask me, why did you steal the bank? That's just the easy one. And that's enough for me to, you know, feel ashamed about it. So the fact of returning and there being a Day of Judgment really is what causes justice in society. If everyone was not to believe that they would be judged, you would do anything. And leaving alone morals, because morals come from like even atheists have morals. The reason that they have it is because they want to save, they believe in a system. That society needs this. But for example, if you're a poor, like you're living through hardship, there are like problems, and there's a chance to do something that's wicked, but really helps you out. And if you don't believe in a Day of Judgment, it will be easy for you, especially if you got away with it, if there are like no laws or whatnot.
So you don't need to be constantly watched over, but we all know about a lot of Muslims who believe in the Day of Judgment. They pray constantly, but we know that we have seen lots of sins from them. They believe in the Day of Judgment, but they're sinning.
Two quick answers. First one is they haven't understood the concept of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they haven't believed truly in the Day of Judgment, because a true believer doesn't do that. That's the first thing. So they should really recheck their belief and try to understand their belief better. Secondly, sometimes it comes from our jahl, We have ignorance. The verse from our ignorance. We have the verse. We also have it in the supplications of the Imam alayhi salam, that when I did this sin, I didn't do it to, you know, break your rules or to fight against you. I did it while being ignorant.
I didn't do it to violate you.
Yeah, it was like a slip.
I slipped. It was a mistake.
Yeah.
Thank you very much, Sheikh Habib. Unfortunately, that's all the time that we have to sign off now. But if you missed it, you can always download an archive of this episode and previous episodes from the internet. Simply search IRIB English Radio Quran Quest. Until next week and a lot of studying. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, O you who believe, ista'inu bis sabri was salah.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Today we listen to the speech of Hujjatul Islam Salim Yusuf Ali.
So the verse I want to quote to you is actually from Surah Al-Kahf. And Allah is describing Ashab Al-Kahf, the people of the cave. And as you know, the people of the cave were a group of people who were living in a society that was filled with polytheism. And with polytheistic attitudes. There was very little tawheed in that society. Allah describes these people as being those who were innahum fityatun amanu. They were a group of young people who had a belief. Wazidnahum huda. And Allah says that we increased their guidance. They were people who were guided by Allah on account of the purity of their faith. And then Allah says, وَرَبَطْنَا عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ إِذْ قَامُوا فَقَالُوا. Allah says that we made their hearts firm when they did qiyam, when they stood and they said, رَبُّنَا 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 رَبُّ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. Our Lord is the Rabb, is the Lord of the heavens and the earth. لَنَّدْعُوَ مِن دُونِهِ إِلَهَا. We will never ever call upon any deity save him. Why not? لَقَدْ قُلْنَا إِذَنْ شَطَطَ. If we were to call on any other entity that somebody else would worship, then we would have said something which is out of place. We had said something which is unjust. And then these people are described to then make a statement about the society they were living in. So what did they say? These group of young believers who have that statement of Tawheed and about their Rabb, they say that هَؤُلَاءِ قَوْمُنَا اتَّخَذُوا آلِهًا مِن دُونِي. These people of ours, they've taken up, you know, gods other than Allah. And then they say that if only they would bring some type of proof for what they are believing in, like that, some type of evidence to back up their belief in these, you know, gods. And then they say, فَمَنْ أَظْلَمُ مِمَّنْ افْتَرَى عَلَى اللَّهِ كَذِبًا. Who is it that is more unjust than the one who forges a lie against God? So in this set of verses, we see Allah describing the biggest act of injustice, but from another perspective. And it's talking about these people who are standing up against Tawheed. So first, I would like to explain what is it that these people of the cave, these young believers, what did they stand for? And then I want to look at and see how is it that they were opposed. And I think that there's some very important lessons that we can learn from this about justice and injustice. If we can, inshallah, attract Allah's special attention to this gathering. So the Quran quotes them, their motto as being Rabbuna Rabbus Samawati Wal Ard. The concept of Rububiyyah and recognizing that Allah is the Rabb is a very powerful Quranic concept. Every day in our prayer, multiple times, we address Allah as saying Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. In various places in the Salah, we refer to Allah as being the Rabb. Subhana Rabbi al-Azimi wa bihamdih. Subhana Rabbi al-A'la wa bihamdih. When Allah refers to Himself with certain names, each one of them is like a key that unlocks a whole treasure of knowledge and insight. And part of the very useful knowledge that we can gain as believers is to try to understand the depth and profundity of these different titles and names of Allah. Each one of them is a key. When, for example, we see that one of the prophets will address Allah as Rabb, or in another case he'll address Him as Ilah, it's something which has subtleties and all of them have meanings for us. When Allah describes the people of the cave, He says that their statement to their people is that our Lord is the Lord of the heavens and the earth. Now, what is the concept of Lord? Rabb is the one who is in charge of one's affairs. The one who is the owner and the one who calls the shots. And one of the important teachings that we have from Imam Hussein alayhi salam, you know, we have every year in Muharram, we get a chance to revisit not only what took place on the day of Ashura, but also some of the light-filled sayings of the Ahlul Bayt, in particular Imam Hussein alayhi salam. So there's one hadith which really is one of my favorite ahadith, where Imam Hussein alayhi salam is describing, you know, his worldview and his perspective on things. So there's one time in a hadith we're told that he was asked, you know, how are you? And Imam Hussein alayhi salam wanted to use that opportunity to explain what was his perspective on things. So he says that, so he was asked, Kaifa Asbahta, how did you enter into this morning? How are you doing this morning? So Imam Hussein alayhi salam in the hadith, he says that Asbahtu wali rabbun fawqi. I entered the morning while I have a Lord who is above me, وَالنَّارُ أَمَامِي, and the fire is in front of me, وَالْمَوْتُ يَطْلُبُنِي, and death is seeking me, وَالْحِسَابُ مُحْدِقٌ بِي, and the hisab, the accounting and reckoning is near me, وَأَنَا مُرْتَهِنٌ بِعَمَلِي, and I am bound up with my actions, لَا أَجِدُ مَا أُحِبُّ, I don't find what I love, وَلَا أَدْفَعُ مَا أَكْرَهُ, and I'm not able to repel those things that I dislike. Now, each one of these things, you know, it's, you could have a whole like in-depth conversation about them. You know, the idea that Imam Hussein wants to, you know, point attention to this, that, you know, I'm not even capable of attracting the thing that my heart desires, nor repelling the thing that it doesn't desire. It's a sign of one's admittance that they are not the Rabb, they are the Marbub, they are the one who has a Lord who is in charge of things. And then he says, وَالْأُمُورُ بِيَدِ غَيْرِ, like, the affairs are in the hands of someone other than me. I'm not in charge of my own affairs. فَإِنْ شَاءَ عَذَّبَنِي وَإِنْ شَاءَ عَفَى عَنِي, if he desires, he will punish me. If he desires, he will forgive me. فَأَيُّ فَقِيرٍ أَفْقَرُ مِنِي, who is there who is more impoverished than I am? Right? Now, this perspective, you know, if you were to take it and just look at it and say that if somebody is looking at the world from that lens, it's a very non-secular perspective. It's a perspective where this world and all of its affairs is just, you know, one thing that's going on, but there's so much more there. And you can see how in the eyes of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, right, there's, you know, everything is, you know, the whole, he has a big picture in mind. And that being that's prominently figuring in his worldview is his Rabb, the one who is in charge of the affairs. And for a believer, when they understand that they are not independent, but everything about them is dependent, their whole life can change. All their interactions, all their hopes, all their aspirations, everything that they do, what they know that is right and wrong, all of that can change when they understand that they have a Rabb. So that's why in classical theology, when the topic of rububiyah or being a Lord is discussed, it's discussed from two perspectives. One of them is to say that Allah is the Rabb of Takween, meaning that He's the one who's in charge of like the physical universe and all the different things that happen, whether it be the movement of the planets, whether it be the rotation of the, let's say, of the earth around its own axis, whether it be the change in weather and the change in day and night, the birth and death of different living creatures. Everything, all of that is under a tightly controlled system, and He's the one who's the conductor and the organizer and the creator of all of that. The second type of rububiyah is when Allah is in charge of tashri, meaning He's the one who also defines what is it that we need to do and what do we need to stay away from in order to achieve success. So these people, the Ashabul Kahf, the people of the cave, they were those whose whole perspective on life and their whole worldview was something that the summation, if you want to just sum it up in one thing, it's that everything is in the hands of our Rabb. He's in charge. He's the one who's in charge of the heavens and the earth. He's in charge of us as well too. Now, it's not just words, but it's a lifestyle. It's a whole perspective. And when Allah describes what they did, He says that إِذْ قَامُوا, they actually did qiyam. They had to stand in order to say this. And so the Mufassirin have said that it seems that just if you don't even look at the hadith about this, you can tell that this was something that was difficult for them. Like they were, it's almost as if like they're standing against the current to say that this is the perspective we have on things. Now, then they make a comment on these other people who have different perspectives. And he says, look, they have these other things, but they don't have any proof behind what they say. And then they say, وَمَنْ أَظْلَمُ مِمَّنْ افْتَرَى عَلَى اللَّهِ كَذَرًا. These type of people who are standing against us, they belong in the category of those who are the most unjust. They are the biggest zalimin.
You're listening to Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. This program entitled Minbar. Our email address is englishradio@irib.ir.
روحي كريم عظيم عليم حليم حكيم متين غفور شكور ودود قيوم رؤوف صبور مجيد صل على محمد وآل محمد يا مؤمنين صلوا عليه.
This is IRIB English Radio.